Welcome to the September 2025 News Bulletin podcast for commercial shipping marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. Dear member and fellow maritime professional, over the past year, IAMS has trained several hundred members, and some non-members, at various locations around the world, both face-to-face and online, in a variety of marine surveying topics. That is a remarkable statistic and achievement. Training is an integral part of what the Institute does, and we are proud of the lead we take in surveyor education. On top of that, there has been strong educational demand in 2025. Over 200 students are currently enrolled for the distance learning IAMS professional qualifications in small craft and commercial ship marine surveying. Training and education are right at the heart of what we do. So, against this backdrop, I am delighted to formally announce that at the end of July, IAMS launched its on-demand training portal. With the continuous development of technology, the ways to train and learn have changed beyond recognition. This new, innovative portal marks a step change in the learning opportunities for marine surveyors. My colleagues and I have spent an intense 18 months behind the scenes working with software developers and content providers. The Institute, which is ISO 9001 certified for training services in marine surveying, is proud to present its significant new learning platform in association with EDOT Solutions. It is set to transform the way a marine surveyor learns and develops new skills and acquires fresh knowledge. The portal already boasts over 130 training modules, and more will be added as we expand our material and content. It's a great and easy way to learn in your own time, in your own way, and at your own pace. It's free to sign up for the new training portal and browse the available courses and units with no obligation. You do not need to be an IAMS member to take advantage of the IAMS on-demand training portal. It's available for all to access at trainingportal.iaams.org.uk. The Report Magazine September 2025 edition has been published and is available to download and read in both PDF and online e-reader magazine formats. See elsewhere in this bulletin for the links. I thoroughly recommend it to you. As we say goodbye to summer in the North Hemisphere and autumn looms large, we have a busy period ahead in the run-up to year-end. In particular, I'd like to remind you and draw your attention to our ever-popular remote tonnage training event taking place on the 23rd and 24th of September. That's followed in October by the two-day Canada branch conference on the 22nd and 23rd of October in Hamilton, Ontario, and, not least, the third iteration of our popular, four-day residential practical surveyor training course, which takes place in early December at Lyme Regis, UK. More details about these events can be found in the news bulletin. Survey well, Mike. Up first, don't miss this opportunity. IAMS rarely offers the chance to learn about tonnage measurements in person. On the 23rd of September from 1500 to 1800, we will present online Part 1, Tonnage Theory Training. This is available to IAMS members and non-members too and provides an essential knowledge base into tonnage measurement. The following day, for those who are available to meet at Itchener Sailing Club in the UK, Part 2 will be delivered. Three boats will be measured under the guidance of experienced IAMS surveyors, who will lead the session. If you are unable to travel to the UK for this face-to-face, you can complete Part 2 remotely by recording and submitting your evidence at your convenience. There's also still time to book onto our Canada 2025 branch conference in Hamilton on the 22nd and 23rd of October. The local committee is pleased to announce a new date for this event, which was postponed earlier this year. Join us in person or online. Find out more at iamscanada.ca. We also have our practical surveying course in Lyme Regis, the UK, between the 1st and 4th of December 2025. Hosted at the Boat Building Academy facilities, IAMS presents the third edition of its popular residential practical surveyor course. There are only 12 spaces, so book early to avoid disappointment. This is an opportunity to be under the guidance and tutelage of three highly experienced, senior marine surveyors as you work alongside them, inspecting and surveying three vessels over 3 days. The morning of day 4 is dedicated to report writing techniques. For more details, visit iaams.org.uk/events. Up next, Chirp Maritime has released its 2024 annual digest containing all the reports which were published last year and other items of interest. In 2024, Chirp received over 200 reports from individuals and another 980 from maritime companies and other organizations. Regarding welfare, cases of crew abandonment more than doubled last year from 2023's record levels. According to the International Maritime Organization, there were 310 cases of crew abandonment registered in 2024. The digest highlighted the issues of safety versus commercial pressure, saying port calls often put safety at odds with commercial demands, forcing shipmasters into difficult decisions. Concealing a damaged anchor to avoid extra costs or rushing departure in strong winds can lead to disaster. The hidden risks of poor design. Good design should enhance safety, but poor choices, such as unsafe pilot ladders, failing mooring bits, or unsecured equipment, can have severe consequences. In the superyacht industry, aesthetics sometimes override functionality, leading to hazards. Safety must be embedded in design, with rigorous testing and consultation with seafarers to prevent incidents before they occur. You can read the report at iaams.org.uk/news. In our next segment, the Norwegian Maritime Authority has issued its accident status for the first half of 2025, noting that a total of 589 incidents on commercial vessels were registered during the first 6 months of the year. According to the authority, of the 589 incidents, 312 are classified as accidents and 277 as near accidents. Cargo ships account for nearly half of all accidents during the period, 46%, followed by fishing vessels, 29%, and passenger ships, 24%. Groundings increased significantly, up 54% from 2024 and 21% compared to the five-year average. A total of 170 serious personal injuries were recorded in the first half of the year, a 16% increase compared to the same period last year. In addition, 113 minor injuries were reported. Blows, crush injuries, and falls on board make up the majority of personal injuries, 74%. 9 vessels sank in the first half of the year, all fishing vessels under 15 meters. In several cases, the sinkings led to personal injuries, particularly due to leaks and fire, explosions. Next, the World Shipping Council has released its annual Containers Lost at Sea report, showing that 576 containers were lost at sea in 2024. While this represents an increase from the record low 221 containers lost in 2023, it remains well below the 10-year average of 1,274 containers lost annually, underscoring continued industry progress on safety and prevention. Container losses in 2024 were influenced by ongoing disruption in the Red Sea region, which led to a significant shift in global trade routes. Vessel transits around the Cape of Good Hope increased by 191% compared to 2023. This area is well known for hazardous maritime conditions, which contributed to a concentration of losses. The South African Maritime Safety Authority says around 200 containers were lost in this region alone. Despite these challenges, the proportion of containers lost relative to those transported remains exceptionally low, just 0.0002% of the approximately 250 million containers transported globally in 2024. You can find the report at worldshipping.org/news. For our next report, India's Directorate General of Shipping has published its Maritime Safety Investigation Report 2024, which highlighted a 21.6% escalation in reported casualties compared to the previous year. Last year, there was a total of 186 incidents with 78 marine casualties and 108 non-operational incidents. In 2023, there were 153 incidents with 74 casualties and 79 non-operational incidents. This showed a 21.6% increase in reported casualties in 2024 from 2023. Compared to 2023, non-operational incidents in 2024 rose by 36.7%, with noticeable increases in desertion and missing crew cases contributing to the overall shift. Key highlights of marine casualties within the report include: an upward trend was observed in total collision incidents, rising from 5 in 2023 to 10 in 2024. Fire and explosion cases declined by over 50%, from 13 in 2023 to 6 in 2024. Indian flagged vessels were involved in just one fire, explosion case, down from 7 in 2023. Occupational casualties remained the highest among marine incidents, though slightly decreased from 50 in 2023 to 47 in 2024. You can read the report at iaamsindia.in in the local news section of the site. Up next, the National Transportation Safety Board highlighted effective placement of smoke and fire detectors following its investigation of a fire aboard a fishing vessel near Tatoosh Island, Washington. The Tarka 2 did not have a smoke or fire detector in the engine room, where a fire broke out on September 2, 2024. The Tarka 2's engine room had a CCTV camera that would have been displayed in the wheelhouse, but it was not in use at the time of the fire. The captain's first indication of a fire was seeing smoke coming from the vessel's exhaust stacks. He likely would have been alerted to the fire sooner with an engine room smoke or fire detector or had the CCTV been operational. The smoke detectors outside the engine room and in the galley did not activate until the captain opened the engine room door. The captain shut down the generator and main engine and noticed a small, smoldering fire near the hydraulic tank and hydraulic pump in the engine room. As the fire intensified, the captain and the crew member abandoned the vessel into a life raft and were rescued by the US Coast Guard. The exact source of the fire could not be determined because the Tarka 2 sank and was not recovered. It was declared a total loss estimated at $460,000. You can read the report at iamsusa.com. For our next report, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority has released its Marine Incident Annual Report 2024, which gives detailed insights into marine incidents across domestic commercial vessels, foreign flagged ships and regulated Australian vessels. This report covers marine incident trends from 2020 to 2024 and provides an evidence base to support ongoing safety and compliance efforts. In 2024, 5,625 marine incidents were reported. Larger DC versus made up nearly 70% of marine incident reports, despite comprising only 20.6% of the DCV fleet. Bulk carriers accounted for the most marine incidents among foreign flagged vessels. 5 fatalities were reported across all vessel types. Over 500 reported injuries, with 157 of these serious. Most serious crew injuries were linked to navigation or maintenance and cargo handling. Collisions, groundings, and propulsion or system failures were the most common marine incident types, with engineering system failures rising across all vessel types. Person overboard incidents on DC versus dropped by 12.9%. Common contributing factors included poor lookout, equipment failures, and gaps in risk assessments or risk management procedures. You can read the report at iamsaustralia.com.au in the local news section. Next, the New Zealand Transport Accident Investigation Commission has published a report after bulk carrier Achilles Bulker lost its rudder in 2023. On the 24th of July 2023, the fully loaded Achilles Bulker was under pilotage outbound from the port of Tauranga. Shortly after clearing the harbour entrance, the ship's heading began to swing to port and deviate from its intended track in the centre of the channel. As the bridge team took corrective action to return the ship to the centreline of the channel, the ship's rudder broke off and the ship continued out of the channel into shallow waters. The pilots and ship's crew successfully anchored the ship using both anchors, narrowly avoiding grounding. Why it happened? The rudder pintle was missing, which left the bottom of the rudder unsupported and allowed excessive movement in the rudder system. The rudder broke off when the rudder palm fractured on both sides of the rudder stock. The pintle dropped out of position and was lost before the ship lost its rudder. As a result, excessive lateral loads had been placed on the rudder palm over time, contributing to the development of fatigue cracks in the palm on both sides of the rudder stock. In 2021, Achilles Bulker underwent maintenance during a scheduled dry dock period. During this period, the rudder pintle assembly was removed and later reinstalled. It is virtually certain that the way the rudder pintle assembly was reinstalled did not ensure that the pintle would remain in place during normal shipboard operations. The way the rudder pintle assembly was reinstalled meant that components used to secure the pintle in place failed, allowing the pintle to drop from the bottom of the rudder. The Transport Accident Investigation Commission has identified a safety issue relating to the quality assurance and oversight used during the pintle reinstallation. Read the full report at iamsnewzealand.co.nz. In our next segment, Lloyd's Register has provided a summary of the outcomes of the recent IMO's Maritime Safety Committee's 110th session. The following amendments were adopted: SOLIS Regulation V23 on pilot transfer arrangements, performance standards for pilot transfer arrangements, and amendments to the IMSBC code. MSC adopted the following resolutions and guidelines: MSC Resolution on Amendments to Resolution MSC 81-70 on Revised Recommendation on Testing of Life-Saving Appliances, related to the Procedure for Life Jacket Buoyancy Test and Acceptance Criteria. MSC Resolution on Revised Recommendations for Entering Enclosed Spaces Aboard Ships. Guidelines associated with the new SOLIS requirements for emergency towing equipment on ships other than tankers. You can download the report at lr.org/en. Next, the Allianz Safety and Shipping Review 2025. During the 1990s, the global fleet lost 200-plus vessels a year. This total had halved by 10 years ago and is now down to a record low of 27 as of the end of 2024, is a key finding of the review. This compares with 35 a year earlier, vessels over 100 gross tonnage, down by around 20%, with a 75% decline in total losses over the past decade. Overall, the past decade has seen 681 total losses reported across the shipping world. The review revealed the number of reported shipping casualties or incidents around the world increased by around 10% during 2024. The British Isles saw the highest number, followed by the East Mediterranean and Black Sea. The British Isles is also the top location for the most incidents over the past decade, accounting for 20% of 28,331 reported incidents. Machinery damage, failure accounted for well over half of all shipping incidents globally in 2024, followed by vessel collision and fire, explosion. There were 250 fire incidents during 2024, up by 20% year-on-year, the highest total for a decade. You can download the review at iams.org.uk/news. Up next, the IMO Subcommittee on the Implementation of IMO Instruments 3 held its 11th session in July 2025. The subcommittee has a key role in casualty analysis and issuing lessons learned from marine incidents. It receives and analyzes port state control data and keeps under review the procedures for port state control. Guidelines for survey and certification, including the survey guidelines under the Harmonized System of Survey and Certification, also come under the remit of this subcommittee. The American Bureau of Shipping has shared a brief summarizing the more significant issues progressed at this session. The overview looks at revision of the 2023 survey guidelines under Harmonized System of Survey and Certification, development of guidance on remote surveys, ISM audits, and ISPS verifications, revision of the 2023 guidelines and procedures for PSC, and revision of the unified interpretation of completion date of the survey. In our next story, this year's Port State Control Concentrated Inspection Campaign will focus on ballast water management, says DNV. The CIC is set to take place from the 1st of September to 30th of November. Every year, PSC regimes determine a specific focus area during regular inspections. For 2025, the Paris and Tokyo MOS have agreed to run a CIC on the topic of ballast water management. It is expected that the majority of PSC MOS will participate in this year's CIC. You can read the questionnaire at tokyomou.org. Up next, the Republic of the Marshall Islands Maritime Authority has released its annual report on Marine Safety Investigations 2024. During 2024, the administrator investigated 954 total reports comprised of very serious marine casualties, marine incidents, and occurrences. This showed a 13% increase compared to 2023. Since 2022, on average, the number of reports has increased by 15% per annum. Investigations have revealed key safety trends, including recurring issues related to working at height, enclosed space entry, collision, grounding, fire explosion, and loss of propulsion. Bulk carriers and tankers make up 56% of RMI registered vessels. Combined, bulk carriers and tankers account for 55% of all reported incidents. The average incident rate across all ship types is 16%. Although bulk carriers and tankers exceed the average incident rate of the RMI registered fleet, the incident rate is proportionate to the size of each of these vessel types within the RMI registered fleet. Mobile offshore units make up 3% of the RMI registered fleet, however, MOS account for 18% of all reports. As a proportion of the number of reports, MOS have a higher than average incident rate compared to all other vessel types. You can find the report on the IIMS website. In our next report, the Indian Directorate General of Shipping has proposed guidelines on biofuel bunkering and has invited comments from stakeholders. These guidelines apply to all biofuel bunkering operations within Indian ports, anchorages, offshore facilities, and territorial waters. Indian and foreign flag vessels receiving biofuels, as well as all entities involved in the supply, handling, storage, and delivery of biofuels. Various modes of bunkering, including tank truck to ship, shore to ship, and ship to ship transfers. Covered fuels include FAME, FAE, SVO, HVO, BioFT diesel, and approved blends up to B30. These provisions are to be read in conjunction with applicable IMO conventions, BIS fuel standards, and other national and international regulatory frameworks. You can download the circular via iaamsindia.in. Next, the Transportation Safety Board of Canada has released its investigation report into the fire and flooding on board the Holiday Island ferry near Wood Islands, Prince Edward Island. As a result of the investigation, the TSB is issuing a recommendation to Transport Canada. It is also launching a national safety issue investigation into vessel fires and emergency response across Canada's marine sector. On July 22, 2022, a fire broke out in the engine room of the Holiday Island after a non-standard repair made to the ferry's fuel injection system failed and caused fuel to spray onto hot engine components and ignite. All passengers and non-essential crew members were safely evacuated, and a large-scale emergency response followed. Despite efforts from responders, the fire could not be extinguished, and the vessel was eventually abandoned. On July 24, 2022, once the fire had stopped, the vessel was towed to the Wood Islands terminal and later declared a constructive total loss. One of the key issues uncovered in the investigation was the confusion surrounding the role of the authorized representative, the person legally responsible for a vessel's safety. This investigation, along with others before it, has identified a lack of understanding and awareness of the roles and responsibilities of authorized representatives in the industry. The recommendation is as follows: the Transportation Safety Board of Canada recommends that the Department of Transport provide comprehensive guidance for authorized representatives, outlining the full scope of their responsibilities. This guidance should support authorized representatives in understanding and complying with applicable regulations, thereby reducing the risk of vessels and crews operating without the minimum safety defenses afforded by regulatory compliance. The TSB has also launched a national safety issue investigation into shipboard fires on commercial vessels and the effectiveness of emergency response in Canada. Find out more at iaamscanada.ca. For our next segment, DNV has sent out a news update on amendments to the International Code for the Safe Carriage of Grain in Bulk, which have been adopted by IMO Resolution MSC 552-108. The Grain Code amendments enter into force on 1 January 2026 and will be applicable to new buildings with keel laid on or after this date. For existing ships, the amended Grain Code can also be applied to improve loading flexibility and demonstrate compliance with the new requirements. It is expected that there will be an increased attention on this loading pattern by inspectors in the larger grain exporting ports from 2026. The need to implement such an update for existing ships will largely depend on the individual ship's cargo capacity, the maximum draft, and the specific gravity of the type of grain typically carried. If a ship, when operating at its normal fixed grain trade, can consistently load all holds fully, with untrimmed ends, without exceeding the maximum loadline draft, or only rarely encounters a fully loaded condition where one hold is partial filled within the hatch, such an update may not be necessary. DNV says it is also worth noting that trimming can still be performed for a partial filled hold, where the grain level is below the hatch combing, if such a service is available in the port. New Grain Code amendments. To address this, a fourth permissible loading pattern has been introduced to the new Grain Code amendments, partly filled hold, in way of the hatch opening, ends untrimmed. This means that if the final filling level of a cargo hold is inside the perimeters of the hatch combing, measured from the lower level of the hatch end beams and upwards, the ends do not need to be trimmed. The grain surface shall form a natural slope from either the hatch end beam or from the feeding holes in the end girder. Depending on the filling height, a 30-degree slope is assumed in the calculations. Read the news update with diagrams at dnv.com/news. Next, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has released its annual report for 2024. Last year, the MAIB received 1,515 reports on marine casualties, incidents and started 15 investigations, 7 of which involved loss of life. Overall, the MAIB recorded 1,631 reports of accidents to UK vessels worldwide or any vessels within UK coastal waters during 2024. A total of 1,753 vessels were involved. You can read the report at iaams.org.uk. Up next, the United States Coast Guard has issued a safety alert after an integrated lithium-ion battery bank recently caught fire on board an inspected passenger vessel when loosely crimped lugs overheated. Although no one was injured and the vessel sustained minimal damage, the Coast Guard has emphasized this casualty highlights safety hazards unique to lithium-ion batteries. All integrated, installations used for propulsion and electrical power, lithium-ion battery systems on inspected vessels must undergo engineering plan review, be fitted with supporting safety systems, be tested and inspected at installation and periodically afterward, and be properly maintained by competent mariners, regardless of the battery bank size or end consumer. Safety considerations include energy density, thermal runaway, fire suppression resistance, toxic off-gases, and battery management. The Coast Guard has provided design guidance for integrated lithium-ion battery systems, design guidance for lithium-ion battery installations on board commercial vessels, and standard guide for shipboard use of lithium-ion batteries. As lithium-ion battery technology evolves, additional guidance may be released. Read the full safety alert, including the major safety considerations for lithium-ion battery hazards, and owner and operator guidance lithium-ion battery identification at iimsusa.com. In our next story, the Isle of Man Ship Registry has released its 2024 Annual Casualty Summary Report. It contains an analysis of the data and trends identified from casualty reports submitted to the Ship Registry during 2024. Over the course of last year, the Ship Registry said there were 53 accidents, 34 incidents and 7 casualty reports. There was 1 fatality, 8 serious injuries and 22 minor injuries reported. The most common occurrences were personal injury and involving mooring ropes or hawsers. Lifting or carrying by hand and mooring operations were the most common activity reported on the accident report forms. 2024 saw a rise in the number of occurrences involving sudden release of a substance from a system. When transferring a substance from one system to another, thorough inspection of all hoses, couplings, and other associated components of the sealing arrangement is strongly recommended. Particularly if equipment not belonging to the vessel is involved, i.e. bunkering from shore to vessel. All crew involved in a transfer should be competent and trained for use upon the equipment they are responsible for. You can download the report via the IIMS website. In our next report, the International Salvage Union has published its annual statistics for 2024. They are the only published measure of the state of the industry but do not include information from non-ISU members. Key points in the report include: gross revenue for ISU members for 2024 was $406 million. 191 services were provided, compared to 184 in 2023. Lloyd's Open Form had 29 cases compared to 16 in 2023. LOF revenue was $118 million. And wreck removal income was $205 million from 40 services. Read more at iims.org.uk/news. Up next, UK P&I Club has developed a guide to safe LNG bunkering practices, second edition, in collaboration with Brooks Bell. The guide presents a practical resource for the safe and efficient bunkering of liquefied natural gas in the maritime industry. In response to global decarbonisation efforts and the growing adoption of LNG as a fuel in transition, this guide explores the physical characteristics of LNG, associated hazards, and recommended best practices for its handling, storage, and transfer. The publication also addresses critical considerations such as risk assessments, mooring analyses, and the complexities of simultaneous operations. It outlines essential tank preparation procedures such as inerting and cool down and emphasizes the importance of establishing robust safety and security zones. You can download the PDF via the IIMS news page. Next, the IMO has introduced a new resolution setting new requirements for lifting appliances and anchor handling winches. These updates will take effect on the 1st of January 2026, ensuring enhanced safety and operational standards across the maritime industry. Class News, released by Lloyd's Register, covers the requirements for lifting appliances, while a separate publication addressing anchor handling winches will follow. The SOLAS amendments are supplemented by the IMO Circular on Guidelines for Lifting Appliances. Before entering service, new lifting appliances must undergo certification, which includes plan appraisal and material verification, inspection and testing during fabrication, verification of component certification, including loose gear, and load testing and thorough examination once installed on board. Find out more at lr.org/en. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.